Welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for a local church. I'm your host, Sam Rainer, and I have with me Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers. He's also my dad. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, then, well, you probably know that. But if it's your first time, welcome. We're glad that you are tuning in. And today we're talking about something that I think a lot of us pastors are feeling. I'm a local church pastor, and it's this idea of feeling numb. We're coming out of this, what we call, I guess, a post-COVID era, post-quarantine era, whatever you want to call it.
I like post-quarantine, Tim.
Well, that is your book, so let's mention that. Put a link in the show notes, Amy, if you don't mind. We gotta promote Dad's latest book. It's number 33, right? It's your 33rd book?
33, I think.
Well, you've written so many, you've lost count.
I won't count them. I'll go back and count them.
we're all feeling this, I guess, is what I'm saying. I am at the point almost as a pastor where I just almost feel numb to so much that's happening. And all of the decisions that have to be made and all of the phone calls that have to be made. How do you move forward? How do you move forward from this numb feeling? But before we get into that, I do want to talk about our sponsors. We have a great sponsor, great partner in ministry, Tyndale. And Tyndale knows, and they feel this too, that God wants you to flourish. We all know that life is not always fun, but it can always bear fruit. And so they have this 6-session journey with Beth Moore to discover what it means to abide in Christ and bear fruit. The 6-session Chasing Vines group experience is a topical study you don't want to miss. You can find out more information about Beth's Chasing Vines book, the group study, and the DVD at chasingvines.com. So go there. Take a look at it, chasingvines.com. So, Dad, let's just talk about this thing that we all feel right now. If you're a pastor, if you're a church leader, maybe if you're just a key volunteer, there's this numb feeling that we've all got. So what have you done? Let me just ask this. I mean, I think that this post-quarantine era has exacerbated it, but certainly there's been times in your life where you felt numb as a leader. I know life where you've had plenty of ups and downs when you were there and led through some difficult seasons. How did you deal with that numb feeling?
Two things. I did have them. And so I'm not going to make myself the hero of my own response because I did have them. And some of them were a bit more extended than they should have been. It's okay to go through a season where you just feel out of it. That's okay. You just don't need to stay in it. And two things took place. One, I've always had someone speaking truth into my life, and that always, I'm going to say, for the last 3 decades. And primarily the last 20 years has been Brad Wagner. I don't like him speaking truth into me because he can really make me feel badly, but he speaks truth. And he's told me on numerous occasions, I don't know exactly his words, but essentially it's, Rainer, you're acting like an idiot, or you're acting like you're in a blue funk. Get out of it. So to have someone who can speak into my life has been an antidote for some of it, because it reminds me I need to get out of it. The other thing is, anytime we're detached, we're inwardly focused, and the response is to become outwardly focused. So when we start feeling this flat, just start asking God, how can I begin to serve others? How can I do the gospel more effectively, share the gospel more effectively? So when I fall flat, I realize that I am focusing on the whole unholy trinity of me, myself, and I, and I have to start looking at others and serving others to get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, we all feel it, and all leaders go through this. But being detached, being away, is not the answer. And so what you need to be doing is listen to those in your life, those confidants, those mentors, those friends, more than your feelings. Your feelings are your feelings. They're neutral. What I mean by that is you feel what you feel. You sometimes can't even help it. What you do with those feelings is really the question. If you feel this numbness of, this spiritual numbness, It's not that that in and of itself is wrong. It's how you deal with it. And one of the best ways to deal with it is just, you know, you should have good people around you, friends, confidants, family, accountability partners. I've always leaned into my deacons. I've got good deacons at West Bradenton. They've helped me through a lot of this. You know, I've got a handful of them that I can just tell anything to. And I know not every pastor has that with their deacons, but they're, you know, you need to seek out those confidants in your life in order to get through this season. And share with them how you feel, but listen to them more than you do your actual feelings, because your feelings will fail you. Your feelings will guide you to a place that can be a very dangerous place if you continue chasing them.
You and I, in the course of a week, will have 5 conversations, totally independent from podcasts and all that. One of us will call the other. And it is not unusual for us to speak into the life of each other as well. Father, son, yes. Speaking into the life of each other. And we don't mind sharing very forthrightly. We'll encourage one another, but we'll say, hey, I see this about you. And I got to say, you receive constructive criticism as well as anyone I've ever been around, period.
Well, I'm glad to know that. I don't always feel that way, but yes.
I mean, I remember a conversation I had with you yesterday, and I don't know if criticism was the word. I just said, you need to have an awareness about this.
Yeah, it was a blind spot. It was something I never thought of, and it actually involved one of my giftings. I have a certain gift set, like all of our listeners do, and I have a very specific gift that we were talking about that I feel like God has blessed me in that area. But it had created a blind spot because I was wanting to be generous in that area. And that generosity was leading me to a place where I was not being taken advantage of, but not helping others because I was wanting to help them too much. And in certain ways that wasn't good for them and it wasn't good for me. And you pointed that out. And I'd never thought about the perspective that you gave. And it was a good wake up call, but it wasn't a bad thing at all. It was actually a good thing that we were talking about, but it was leading me to do things that were weighing on me and too much of a burden that it was unnecessary. And the point is, I wasn't able to see that myself. You had
Which
to point that out.
With so many of us. I mean, we think we look in the mirror metaphorically well, but we really don't.
Nobody does.
By the way, your mother has been pretty good about letting me know as well.
Yes, and my wife does the same thing.
Your wife is so incredibly sweet until she's not, and then she'll let you know.
Yes, Aaron's very gifted in encouragement. Yes,
she is.
But when she needs to be forthright, punchy is a word that I would use, and I need it. I need it. It's a more positive than a negative. But she's not afraid to speak truth either. No. Kind of like mom. Don't mess with her kids, right?
Goodness gracious. Do not mess with Nellie Joe's 3 sons. Oh, now the grandkids. Do not mess.
The grandkids and all of our wives, too. Mom is just as protective. But we digress. We digress.
Okay. Let's continue. You're feeling this numb feeling. You want to move forward in this time of the post-quarantine era. And there are going to be a lot of struggles. There are going to be a lot of declines, potentially attendance declines, financial declines. How about shifting the focus? Don't put your head in the sand and deny those realities, but how about shifting your focus and start finding joy in small victories, the little victories? God will use that to give you the bigger victories.
Yes, I'm a firm believer that in order to lead well, you have to be an optimist, because how else are you going to take people to a better place? And when things are tough, you don't want to deny them. You don't want to be, certainly don't want to be a pessimist, but you also have to be a realist about it. But as you find joy in the little victories, it pushes you in the right direction. You become what you celebrate. I've said that many times. I'll say it again. You become what you celebrate. And as God works in your church, let's say you're in a tough spot right now. You're completely numb. You're done with it. You're just kind of through. You're through with your church. You're through with ministry. You're just done. Well, how do you get out of that? You know, you may go, well, I don't know that I'm called away. I'm really caught in a hole right now. Well, the way you get out of that is to begin to celebrate those little things that point you in the right direction. And they could be so small. They could be something as small as just, hey, I just had a positive conversation with someone that typically hasn't gone well. And so you want to celebrate that. Well, how would you celebrate it? Well, text them, follow up a few hours later and say, that really meant a lot to me that, you know, we were able to have that conversation. And I want to thank you for how we discussed whatever we were discussing, and just celebrate the little thing that happened. And as you celebrate the little things, they will become bigger things and it will build the right culture into your church. So how do you get out of the hole? How do you get out of feeling numb? One tactic, if you will, is just to celebrate every little thing that you can celebrate. And it may be a small celebration, but at least it's there.
So we're focusing on this era where there's a lot of struggle that's going on. And by the way, you know, your statement, you become what you celebrate.
Yes.
I am Tuvalu.
You have a thing for Tuvalu. And you have to explain what that is to our listeners.
Tuvalu is the third smallest country in the world, 11,000 population. Series of eight islands or atolls, and it's just tiny. And I watched a documentary on Tuvalu, and found out that they have no crime. They've had no COVID cases. They don't have much income there, but they take care of each other if anybody has needs. They're predominantly Christian. The Church of Tuvalu is a non-denominational church that started by missionaries who came there. And I found out about it. The more I'm finding out about Tuvalu, I just love the place. So one of these days, I'm going to go to Tuvalu. There are only two flights that come in from Fiji every week on a old World War II airstrip that the Allies left there. But I guess I am coming to Tuvalu. I just love Tuvalu.
And everyone that's listening right now is going, Tuva, what?
Tuvalu.
As much of as an introvert as you are, and somebody who really doesn't get out a whole lot, I want to see you get on a plane and go to Tuvalu. I just don't see it happening.
I do. I really, really do. I see that happening. Anyway, let's get away from Tuvalu. Also focus more on relationships and less on strategy. You are a good note writer, handwritten note. You go through a series of writing people notes, and you also text people regularly. And I've actually picked up on your pattern. And most every day now, I am texting someone a word of encouragement. Sometimes text is easier for me than the handwritten note. But
Back to my wife, she, as being an encourager, she writes notes as well. And we didn't tell each other about, we had a dinner with a family at our church, and they were very gracious that they took us into their home. They fed us all that all for four children. She wrote them a note. I wrote them a note, but we didn't tell each other that we were writing notes. And so they texted Aaron and me, and they're like, wow, you guys, like you wrote us two different notes. We were kind of like, oh, we didn't know we'd done that. But yeah, I like to write notes. Yeah, focusing on the relationship and less on the strategy. I do want to clarify that a little bit, because you need a lot of strategy right now. I don't mean to diminish strategy, but sometimes relationships are the strategy. And sometimes it's good to focus on people.
That's a good point. That's a good pull quote. Sometimes relationships are your best strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, people need to feel your leadership at times. And, you know, I'm an explainer. I know that probably shocks you, Dad. I like to talk my way in and out of things.
You just like to talk, period. You can just kind of put a period right there.
I don't know a thing about Tuvalu.
What the case may be.
I don't know a thing about Tuvalu, but I'll gladly talk with you about it. I've got a lot of opinions and I'm glad to share them. So, you know, your relationships. So I guess what I'm saying is strategy is important, very important in this era, but sometimes just sitting down and just being with people is what you need to do. And I think a lot of church members, especially in community people, need to feel your presence. And if you are numb right now, and if you're just not knowing what to do, if you're struggling with your strategy, focus on just dinners, lunches, taking people out to breakfast, hanging out, and God will work through that. And as you enjoy being around the people that you're leading, that numb feeling will begin to fade away.
This next point is so powerfully poignant. Stop blaming. Stop blaming people and start sobbing. I get really frustrated. I guess you know this, Sam, when anybody comes to me and tells me what the problem is without a suggested solution.
I've noticed that. You've told me that many times where I have accurately described the problem.
Yes.
Great. Everybody knew it was a problem.
What's your solution?
What's your solution? And it's can't tell you how many times I've heard that from you. It's been very helpful, by the way.
It's okay to identify the problem, but then do something positive about it. But don't blame. Don't do the blame game. Well, you know, if I just had better church members, I'd have a better church. If we hadn't had to go through COVID, everything would be fine. If this person had not left, I was talking to a pastor in California yesterday, day before yesterday, I can't remember. And he's dealing with the reality, not a large church, that he said, Tom, people are leaving our state. They're not leaving our church. Some of our best people have just decided they're not going to stay in the state of California anymore. And I didn't detect from him anything other than, let's find a way to make it work. Let's find a way. You can't make them stay, but let's find a way to do something positive to start reaching those who are going to be here, because there's still going to be a lot of people in California after a lot of people leave. Instead of blaming those who were leaving, he was saying, let's find ways to reach those who are staying. Love that. Yeah. You probably know who I was talking about too.
I do. And I don't know if we're allowed to mention his name.
Or no, anything. I wouldn't mention his name.
Because but great, great leader. And that sounds just like him. Hey, all right, we do have an issue. How can we positively solve this problem? And yeah, stop blaming the individuals. Start solving the problems. It's almost a compliment to the last point, which is focus more on relationships and less on strategy. And exactly. Sometimes relationships are the strategy. You blaming your church and blaming individuals in your church is not going to help you. Even if they really are to blame, it still doesn't help you. Focus on moving forward, solving those problems. And then lastly, this is important, serve your way through the numbness.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah, sometimes the answer to your own just low points, your own, depression may be too strong of a word, but sometimes pastors do get depressed. Obviously, it is a very real issue. Mental health is a very real issue. And clearly, if you need help, you need to seek out that help. You know, we want to be advocates for those of you who are struggling. But one of the answers, along with getting the help that you need, is serving, putting others first. That, you know, in many ways, that's the biblical side of this is, hey, you know, don't get so caught up into yourself. Yes, you may need to seek help. Yes, you may need to seek counseling. There's nothing wrong with that if this gets, you know, to be a very serious thing. But don't get so hung up on yourself and put others first. That's the biblical side of this. And the way that you can do that is just serve your way through it. Make an extra effort to serve the people around you. This gets back to things like writing letters, sending text messages. There are some very simple things that you can do to show people that you care and serve them. One of the things that we've done with our with some of our seniors, and my wife likes to do this, is just take them flowers, particularly some of our widows. They can't get out of their house so much, but we can't. And sometimes, you know, if we really feel like, you know, there's an issue with, you know, potentially being, you know, a carrier to them, you know, with COVID or what have you, and that we don't want to be, we'll drop the flowers off at the doorstep, ring the doorbell, step away, you know, be a good 10, 20 feet away with our kids standing there in the yard and just talk to them from the front yard. I know that, you know, that sounds like, okay, well, that's a very specific example, but, you know, serve your way through the numbness. Do the things that you serve in areas that you know will bring joy to others. And that's good for your own soul. Like if you're going to bring flowers to a widow, you know that's going to brighten her day. You know it is. And do those things that bring joy to others. Do those, and in doing so, it'll bring joy to yourself. And it'll help you get out of that funk that you can, that ministry funk that you can get in.
You've got me perplexed. Who sang that song, "You Don't Send Me Flowers Anymore"? You don't send me love songs.
Are we talking about 60 songs?
I don't even know. I can't recall. It's just in my mind right now. I'll get it out later.
Okay, so for all of our millennial listeners, listen, I'm going to try to get Dad back on track. We'll start talking about 90s music if we talk about music at all. So I'm really sorry for all the years that you've been listening to Rainer on Leadership with these oldies that he loves.
Well, just can't remember who sang it. Well,
get on a plane to Tuvalu and go listen to the Beatles.
I like both alternatives.
Doris Day sang a song, "Send Me No Flowers."
Yeah, and Amy has now informed us through the group chat here as we're recording who that was, Dad. Do you see that?
Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, and that's why I have no idea, because it's Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand.
You don't send me flowers. You don't sing me
love songs. People don't listen for your singing. That's not why they're listening.
Okay. They may get away because of my singing, but they don't listen. Once again, we want to thank our sponsors. And Sam, I'm going to let you close out with Southeastern, but I want to mention again, Tyndale, God wants you to flourish. We know it's not always fun, but life is not always fun. We can bear fruit. Join Beth Moore on a 6-week journey. Discover what it means to abide in Christ and to bear fruit. The 6-session Chasing Vines group experience, a topical study. You don't want to miss it. We want to remind you of that again. For more information on Beth's Chasing Vines book, the group study, or the DVD, go to chasingvines.com. And Sam, why don't you close us out by thanking Southeastern as well?
We also want to thank Southeastern Theological Seminary. They are doing an incredible work. They got 40 degree programs, including this new 37 Master of Arts in Church Revitalization. They've got a free resource, the Church Future Indicator. You can find more about it at sebts.edu. Great, great seminary. One of the best. Where are you going? Southeastern will help you get there.
Thank you for joining us today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Google Play or Spotify, wherever you listen to us. It's your favorite podcasting app. Join us online at churchanswers.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.